Morning, one and all. Good to be here. I'm going to be over in Proverbs 23. You can turn over there in a minute. But recently, I heard a show, and on the show, he had four guests on there, and he was asking them a question. And one of the questions he asked this girl was, would you cut off your middle finger for $5 million? And she said, no. She said, I might do it for 10. Or not, her pinky finger, what I'm talking about. Would you cut it off for $10 million? And, you know, you just put that under the category that everything and everybody has their price. You know what I'm saying? But there's some things that don't have a price. You know that? There are some things that don't have a price. The Bible talks about that. And if you're able, let's stand. I'm going to read Proverbs 23:23. Proverbs 23:23. Are you there? Let's all read it out loud together. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let's say that again. Buy the truth and sell it not, but sow instruction and understanding. See, there are some things that are not for sale. Amen? Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, we ask you, Father, this morning to be with us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord, to be in your house. We thank you, Jesus, for coming, Lord, and dying upon that cross, Lord. And we thank you, God, for sending your only begotten Son. We ask you, Father, this morning, Lord, that you just open the hearts and minds of those here this morning. And, Lord, that you would bless them. And, Father, to give them the understanding and the knowledge. And that through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you'd have them to have. And we'll ask it all in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated and thank you. Thank you. Title of my sermon this morning is Not for Sale. As you might understand it that way this morning. And we all know that when you buy something, there is a price that's put on to that thing that you buy. Always. When you buy something, you know, to get whatever it is that you're buying, when you buy something, you pay the price for it. You have to give up something in order to get something in return. In my lifetime, I've found this statement to be true. I pay more of a price for telling the truth than I do for anything else. And you may think that, but you know, there are consequences for telling the truth sometimes. But you know what? The Bible says we need to tell the truth. But you may hurt people's feelings, especially the ones you love. There may be things that you and your family may face criticism. You'll find not everyone likes to hear the truth. Can I have an amen about that? Not everyone likes to hear it. In some instances, telling the truth may lead to financial loss. It may, or lost opportunities. I can go right on and on. That's why I say the truth might cost you something. Now, the Bible tells us in this text this morning to buy the truth. And it says, you know, and notice what it says now, and sell it not. You see what it's saying? You buy it and sell it not. Once you buy the truth and make it your own, once you know that the truth is, don't exchange it for anything that this world has to offer. Don't exchange it. Once you have the truth, don't give it up for anything or anybody. The Bible is full of truths. Will you agree with me on that? I'm going to give you a few of them here this morning. And I want to. These are just simple truths that I believe every Christian should know. But you know what? If it's telling me to buy the truth and don't sell it, these truths should stand the test of time for everyone. Can I have an amen on that as well? First off, let's start with an easy one: buy the truth about Jesus Christ and don't sell it. Right? Who is Jesus? He is exactly who he claimed he was. If he isn't, he is the greatest fraud and the greatest deceiver that ever walked on this planet. But anyone who has ever experienced true salvation knows who Jesus Christ is. Amen? He is who he said he was. In John 8, 31 and 32, it says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And what will the truth do? It shall set you free. Men have battled with this truth throughout eternity until this day because they can't grasp that simple fact. I look at Pontius Pilate as examples in the Bible. I think we've all heard the story maybe, but in John 18, 37 through 38, Pilate therefore said unto him, he's talking to Jesus, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born. And he said, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now listen to what Pilate says. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? He was staring truth straight in the eyes, looking at him, looking at truth. And you know what he said? What is truth? Man, I'll tell you what. Listen, he's sitting there, and he couldn't buy it. He wouldn't buy it. And then I think of King Agrippa over in Acts 26, 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. You know, Rodney said earlier, you know, if you feel the Spirit tugging at you today, you know what? You can walk out of this church without accepting that call. And you're no better than Agrippa, King Agrippa there. You're going to say, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Listen to me. When the Spirit is talking to you and dealing with you, you come to the altar and believe what Jesus said. Jesus said, and I'm telling you, thou shalt be saved. Listen, praise God. Almost. Almost doesn't get it. Brothers, you believe the truth. You buy the truth that Jesus Christ is who he said it is. And we all probably know people like that in our lives. Jesus is Lord and Savior. He proved that by rising up from the grave. He proved it. Then, when we place our trust in Jesus, you bought the truth in Jesus Christ. You bought it. When you buy that, don't sell it for nothing. Don't sell it for anything. Grab a hold of it. Let me give you an example of someone who brought the truth. His name was Cornelius. Over to my, he said, a centurion in the Roman army. And his story can be found in Acts chapter 10. Peter was sent to his house. And he preached the gospel to him. And guess what? His family and his friends, brothers, they tells us this story in Acts 10:43. And it says this. He said, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remissions of sin. And brother, and in 44, while Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell on them all which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, they believed. They bought into the truth about Jesus, and they got saved. Now, everybody in here this morning has to make that decision for themselves here this morning. I don't know the hearts of no one in here, only mine. And I know where I stand with Jesus this morning. You know where you stand with Jesus. But I'm telling you, buy into the truth that Jesus Christ is who he said he was. And that he went to a cross and that he died on that cross. And that he rose on the third day. And he now sits at the right hand of Jesus, of God. And praise God, he's sitting there for to make intercession for us. You can hear all the lies this world wants to tell about Jesus. And there's many of them out there. He was a good man. He was an intriguing personality. He was a prophet, on and on and on. But we who know the truth, the ones that have true salvation, know that he is truly the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Amen this morning. I'll tell you what, that's a truth you can buy and never sell it. Second one, I want you to buy the truth about salvation and don't sell it. The Bible tells us that all humans are born sinners. Raise your hand. Everybody in here is born sinner. Every one of us. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We were all born sinners. And the Bible tells us that sin separates us from God. It does. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if we die in that state, if you and I die in that state, it will mean spiritual death and eternal separation from a just God. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Taking vengeance on them that know not God. And they obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If you die in a state of sin, your eternity is an everlasting lake of fire. That's where your eternity will be. But if there is a solution, there is a solution to this. God, out of love, sent Jesus to die on a cross. He sent him to die on a cross in our place as a sacrifice for in our place. That's what they sent Jesus to. Meaning that through Jesus, all humanity can be reconciled unto God and receive forgiveness. All humanity. Revelation 22, 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Now I'm going to tell you something here this morning. You have the part in salvation is this. When the Spirit's knocking on your heart, you have to accept the call. You have to accept it. If you sit back here and don't accept it, you refused what Jesus Christ has offered on your heart. It's upon you. But if he calls, you're the one that can come. Now, Paul said this to the church at Corinth. He said this, examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now focus on this and don't let the devil, I'm talking to everybody, don't let the devil distract you. If the Spirit is dealing with you this morning, come to the altar. I don't care if you come while I'm preaching. I don't care when you come to the altar this morning. Don't worry about what others may think about you. Don't worry about that, because at the end of your life, when you stand before a just and a holy God, you're not going to have to answer to Nancy. You're not going to have to answer to Larry. You're not going to have to answer to Greg. You're going to have to answer to a just God. That's who you'll have to answer to. And don't let him fool you about that. Don't let him do that. It only matters if the blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. It's not about water baptism. It's not about speaking in tongues. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not about being good enough. That's all what matters. It's not about denominations. Salvation is about Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the only one that was the perfect sacrifice that was good enough for you and me. The perfect sacrifice. Psalms 3:8. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind which ye must be saved. We must be saved. Buy into this morning. Buy into that fact. The brothers and sisters, salvation is given for all men freely. You have to accept it. And if you accept it, listen to me, that is your hope to get to heaven one day. Access to the throne of God. Amen. The third truth that I want you to buy into this morning that I wrote down is about the Scriptures. That is the Holy Bible. Don't sell it. There are some out there today, you know what, that will tell you, well, the Bible's old-fashioned, that it's outdated, that it's this, that it's that. Can I tell you this morning, it is the Word of God. It is God-inspired, God-breathed. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, answer me this. Alita, if God said that you're supposed to live by every word of God, wouldn't you think he'd provide it for us? Where did he provide it? He provided it in his word, in his Bible. He provided it in that. If you're supposed to live by every word, all the countenance of God's word, don't you think that he would provide it? And he did. Where did God preserve his word? Because we serve a God who is telling us to live by every word of that. Don't you think he would make a way? He did. Right here. Right here. The Holy Bible of God. That's where it's at. That's why I stand before you this morning saying, I bought it, the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. I don't care what they say. I don't care. I believe this Word this morning. I believe every word in it. I believe all the counsel of it. From back to beginning. Listen, some people like to pick out things in it. I know that. They like to pick things out and like to make their point. I thought about a preacher one time. He was saying, you know what? He told his congregation he was going to preach over in Genesis on Eve. And he talked about how Adam, God gave Eve and he took her as his wife, you know. Well, he didn't know it, but his ornery boys had glued some pages together in the Bible in Genesis. So he started talking and he read it. Then, you know, got to the bottom of the one page. So he turned it and it goes over and it said she was 300 cubits long and some. And he said, and he knew, he said, man, I've never read that in there before. You see, we take all of God's Word. This preacher here takes all of God's Word. I don't take one verse, one point, and try to make my doctrine out of it. And you shouldn't either. Because if you are, you're lying. I'll tell you this too. If God said to live by every way, He's going to make a way. Do you think He would make a way? Well, that's why I stand before you and say that. It is the infallible Word of God. And it's the Holy Bible I hold before you. Can I tell you it's not for sale? There's no price you can put on it? Because it is priceless. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active. And they said this earlier. Alita said it. Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit and joint and marrow. And it judges the thoughts and the attitudes. That's what it does. That's what the word does. John 10:35. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. Psalms 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure, which means pure words, which means flawless, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from generation forever. And he has done that. The Bible is the word of God. Buy into it. Amen? Buy into it. Another truth we should buy into and never sell, everyone's a soul winner. Everyone is. Everyone in this church that's been born again, you are a soul winner. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Well, yeah, is wise. That's what he says. Every believer has a responsibility, or should I say, they have a privilege to be a soul winner. Everybody does. Now, if anyone thinks soul winning is a chore, remember that one day you were lost and headed to a devil's hell. And someone somewhere had either preached or talked to you or taught to you about God's Word and about salvation. If you're here this morning and you think, well, soul winning's really not for me, I'm not that good. Listen, somebody took the time for you one day. Did they not? Absolutely. And someone shared to God, is it too much of us to stop and try to tell someone about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us? I don't think it is. It should be as natural as breathing to us. Listen, when you talk to people and you're talking to them and you're interacting with them, does Jesus ever cross your mind? I mean, that's between you and Lord. But I'm here to tell you, does Jesus cross your mind? Listen to me. If someone hadn't took the time for me one day, if my aunt and uncle hadn't come to me one day and said, Dave, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. Can I tell you something they never said to me? They never said you need to go to church. They never said that. They said, Dave, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. And you know what? They drove a church bus. And they come to my house, eventually come to my house, and I told them, yeah, I'll go to church. with them. I came to my house, and I got saved. Praise God. Praise his name. You know, is it Daniel? Is it should be his natural. Daniel's 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Besides, it's commanded in Mark 16:15. We know the Great Commission. And he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. Every creature. I don't know about you, Greg, but sometimes I've been out preaching to the cows before when I was younger. I've been out preaching to the squirrels, to the rabbits. It said, preach it to every creature, all creation. Do you realize we have no other purpose as a child of God? Because if that was the case, once we got saved, he'd just take us out of here. But sheep begat what? Sheep. That's what we're to do. Share the good news. Christian parents, it tells us, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. The building we gather in each week is here for us so we can fulfill the Great Commission. Did you know that? I'm glad we could come in here and praise and worship. But when we praise and worship and we get filled with God's Spirit, we're supposed to take it out of here. In 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is, like I said, is God-breathed, and it's used for teaching, it's used for rebuking, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be, what? What's it say? May be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Don't go out here on your own merits and on your own deeds, but with the word of God to go out and do what he wants us to do. I buy that truth. I buy that truth right there. Amen? Buy the truth of sanctification. Amen? Buy it and never sell it. What does sanctification mean? As a believer, I'm set apart from the world and from sin and from the works of the flesh to do what? For God's purpose. Sanctification isn't just a one-time thing. It's through your lifetime. Through your lifetime. That's sanctification. I heard a preacher one time preach. He said, I got sanctified holy. You probably heard of that doctrine before, haven't you? I'm sanctified holy and I'll never sin again. I heard him say that and I knew that that wasn't God's word. Listen, sanctification is a process. All of us, day to day, we grow in the Word. We grow in the Spirit. We grow by testimony. That's how we should be sanctified. So don't let anybody ever preach or teach us that today. But sanctification is all through the Scriptures. There's 100 verses in the Bible that teach sanctification. I'll just read a couple of them here. It says 1 Peter 1:14-16. As obedient children, not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust, in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy. How many of you believe we serve a holy God? He is holy. He said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Sometimes our lips don't prove where we say we are sometimes. 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. Romans 15:16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. That's the sanctification. I said it's the process down through your life. The Holy Ghost leads you and guides you through that sanctification process. In John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. What is truth? Your word is the truth. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are being changed inside out, day to day. From the moment that I got saved up until right now, He has worked. The song she sung back here is so true. He is still working on me. Alita, I hope you live to be 100. And if you do, he's still going to be working on you. Amen? That's exactly right. Don't get as scared of the word sanctification. Don't. It's a process that God is wanting to do with us. Thank God for that. Listen, and it says, God's process of change covers every area of our life, our body, soul, and spirit, every bit of it. You are challenged each and every day to live holy. Buy the truth about sanctification and never sell it. Another thing that we should buy the truth about and never sell it is separation. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And then 7:1, 2 Corinthians 7:1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Separation doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It doesn't mean that I'm better than anybody. Those of us who have been born again know that we're saved now, but at one time we were all sinners. I had you raise your hand, and we were lost and undone. We were all sinners. Everybody's on the same page. What it means is God's way is better than the ways of the world. That's what separation means. We are to be separate from the world. There are things Christians should not be partaking of, and things that the world partakes in. We shouldn't be doing it. Separation is not an old-fashioned word. Sometimes we need to be reminded of who lives inside of us, that the reason why we're saved. He's called the Holy Spirit. You never know? We serve a holy God, and we have what living in? The Holy Spirit living within inside of us. I can tell you this. I know the moment that I do something wrong, what happens? You feel it. Who's that? That isn't me tugging at you. If you're a Christian, that's the Holy Spirit tugging at you. You know it. I say this quite often, but I want to get this point home because the Scripture says it. Without the Spirit, you're none of His. Without the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. You have no part with Him. So that's why it says that the Holy Spirit will guide and tug you, because he's drawing you back, wanting to grab you and bring you. Separation is not old fashioned. This is just God's truths. A few of God's, just a few of them right there. There are other truths in the Bible, and I'm not going into all the rest of them. We need to buy into them and not sell them, because there is no price to be put on the truths of God, God's word. Buy the truth and sell it not, it says. You know what sell it not means? I looked it up. It's non-negotiable, not open to discussion or modification. Amen? That's what this is trying to say. So once you buy the truth, don't sell it. Don't negotiate with anybody about it. And don't modify it. Make it yours and don't give up for anything. Tink helped in a yard sale this week. And, of course, the one that was having the yard sale put the price on the stuff, and Greg didn't want to come down. You know what I mean? Well, when it got to the last day, guess what? There was negotiation. And they come down. They come down on the prices and stuff. Listen. When you buy into God's truth, don't let the devil negotiate with you. That, you know, he keeps after you and keeps after you and keeps after you. And after a while, maybe somebody around you, and you start to either modify it or negotiate. No. Praise God. You buy the truths of God and don't sell them. Don't sell them. Don't negotiate with them. Don't modify it or anything. You know, listen, unfortunately, there are some who have sold out. There has been. Listen, They're compromised. They sold the truth. What some of those folks will do is try to get you to compromise as well. I've been around them. I know. God will bring you a choice. You realize you'll make choices down through your Christian walk. And you know what? There's going to be, just like that old cartoon where there's a white angel and a devil. You know how that old cartoon used to be, talking in your ear? Listen to me. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Do not sell it. Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, and neither indeed can be. I got saved in 1973. I've been preaching since February of 1986. I've heard it all, and I've seen it all. I've heard every argument against and for anything that you could bring up. I've heard them for and against. I'm just here to tell you this morning. I've allowed the Holy Ghost to lead me down through my walk as a Christian and as a preacher. I've allowed it. I've got on my knees. I've fasted about things. I've prayed about things. I know. And I stand here before you this morning to tell you, man's arguments will not change me when it comes to the truth of God. It doesn't matter. I bought into the truth, and it's not for sale. It's not for sale. One time at another church I was at, I had one of the deacons want to take me to McDonald's for lunch because he had an issue, and he wanted to talk to me about it. And he thought that by buying me lunch, or doing that, he could change my mind. Guess what? It didn't change. It hasn't changed. And I'm here to tell you this morning, I hope and pray, and I'm not bragging about myself, I'm just telling you that when you buy the truth will set you free. Stand upon that this morning. Buy it, don't sell it. Well, I mean, don't sell it, don't even modify it, don't negotiate with it. You can't change it, because I'm telling you, the Word of God will stand the test of eternity. We stand before God one day, and we give an account. We give an account for every word, every even idle word that we say. We give an account for Him. I mean, and listen to me. I hope and pray that you understand as well as I understand, because I'm up here, and sometimes I got your whole attention. But you know what? There's times you're going to be out here in this world and you're going to be talking to people as well. And you'll have their whole attention. Buy the truth and don't sell it. Buy it and don't sell it. Don't compromise. Don't compromise. Praise God. Amen. They get a song here this morning. Let's stand. If you have a need this morning,